Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio network live broadcast at AM 1510 NBC Sports Radio Boston. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate show times, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, I invite you to join in on the conversation tonight. Our topic is 2013, From Resolution to Revolution. The number to call is 866-338-9663. Again, that's 866-338-9663. This show is also aired on DreamVisions7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mondays and Tuesdays, as well as on other affiliates. Past shows are also downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes, so there are lots of ways to tune in. I invite you to please like my Facebook page. It's called Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. Oddly enough, there are announcements about the show there, as well as links to my newsletter and other articles I've written. You can also follow me on Twitter. The tag is @BlissHealing. So if you're in Massachusetts and read the Boston Globe, I am delighted to announce that I was just featured in the Globe West section, People and Places. You can learn a little bit more about me there. I also wanted, before we get into our program content, to take a moment to express my gratitude for the growing listenership. I am humbled by the fact that I now have over 15,000 listeners through the Dream Vision 7 radio network alone. So this doesn't even include every one of you who's tuning in to the live shows at AM 1510 right now, or to folks who listen through our affiliates, including our new affiliate in Ohio called Radio Row. So welcome, listeners on Radio Row. In our last show, Vision Quest, Surrendering to Great Mystery, I shared some of my own experience participating in my first vision quest. It was quite an adventure, both physically and spiritually. I detailed what it was like and what transformations occurred within me as I moved from a place of extreme fear to a place of trust and surrender. So you might want to check that show out. Some good stuff in there. In tonight's show, where our topic is 2013, From Resolution to Revolution, I wanted to unpack a little bit with you all why there's such a focus on New Year's resolutions. I mean, they so seldom work, and you know, I think we set ourselves up a lot of times, not just for failure at the beginning of the year, but for ways that we can kind of rationalize unhealthy or unfocused behavior in the months before the new year approaches. I know that's what often happens for me. So this year I decided that, unlike every other year, since I knew what a resolution was, I thought I would not create any resolutions. It was going to be a resolution-free 2013. So that's not to say that I haven't given a lot of thought to my understanding of resolutions and my history with resolutions, all the different resolutions I've made over the last 40 some odd years. you know, and so many of these resolutions for me were generated by this kind of once and for all mentality that I had, where I was, you know, going to get organized once and for all, or I was going to lose that last 10 or sometimes 20 pounds once and for all, or I'm going to learn to love working out once and for all. In fact, you know, when we think about it, what does this once and for all even mean? You know, it's never only once, and, you know, I wish that it could be for all, but that isn't the case either. So what I'm trying to point out is that I've never been particularly successful with resolutions. And I've really been trying to figure out why, like that self-awareness piece that I've talked about on past shows and how important that is. And, you know, if I haven't been successful and I can figure out the reasons why, then, you know, what should flow from that awareness and understanding? You know, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. You can post it on Facebook or call in and let me know, you know, what your experiences are in this area. So what I've really decided to do now with my sort of non-resolution approach is to really think about addition through subtraction. You know, what can I take away, or how can I do things in such a way that I'm not really doing them? So, you know, getting into this space of less fault-finding and more cultivating of compassion. And by doing this, I really feel like, as I approach this new year, that I can experiment with creating space for myself and creating space for the stillness and for the not doing, creating space for the being, which can at some point give rise to the doing, but not today. I don't want it to give rise to the doing today. I want to really be in that space of being. And so, you know, in creating space for myself, or if you decide to create space for yourself, it opens us to this opportunity to know our minds and our hearts, to really enter the silence, open to the silence, and listen. Anne LeClaire writes in her book, Listening Below the Noise, The Transformative Power of Silence. It's a great read. Quote, I have read somewhere that there are three highways into the heart. Silence, love, and grief. There is a fourth, too, I think, gratitude, which is a kind of love. In their way, they are as revolutionary as a crisis in claiming our attention. And, you know, I think in our lives we often wait for a crisis to jolt us into some kind of transformation or revolution in how we're doing things. But, gee, wouldn't it be nice if instead of waiting for a crisis or an accident or a diagnosis to, you know, fall in our midst, that instead we just allow ourselves to be in this silent space and let that silence do while we be? It probably sounds a little awkward. But Anne LeClaire goes on in her book to describe the fact that she runs retreats and workshops where she leads people in the practice of silence. You know, all the participants during the retreat express this great desire to incorporate stillness and silence into their lives once they return home. And so what she does is she takes everyone through this exercise of listing all the difficulties that the participants anticipate when they return home and are trying to carve out these periods of silence. And so in doing so, she's able to help people work through their resistance or the excuses or rationalizations that inevitably appear as you're sort of approaching your regular life. I know for me, I'm very much able to get into that space of stillness and silence when I'm on vacation. When I go up to Maine every year and I'm in my cabin or I'm looking out on the lake and I can breathe and I can listen and just be. And every year, this is like the 10th, 11th, 12th year I've been going there, I say, I've got to return and do this once I'm home. And, you know, maybe I can do it for a little bit or I remember my intention to do it, but then, you know, life seems to get in the way, and I'm so looking for ways to shift that and just allow silence to be there. So I'm making some improvements, and we'll go through some suggestions. I'll let you know which things work best for me. But what Anne in this book, just to kind of close the circle on what she writes about, she talks about a Hindu monk. She doesn't name him, but this monk who wrote, "If I could get 1% of the world to practice silence, the world would be transformed. 1% of the world to practice silence, the world would be transformed." I find that to be just astonishing. I mean, talk about a revolution. So how does one enter that silence? She refers to it as a secret garden of silence. And she talks, if you ever get the book, on page 215, about things that you can do, different suggestions. You can commute to work or run errands without having any noise or distraction. You turn off the car radio. When you're performing some kind of routine chore, like folding laundry or washing dishes, that sort of thing, make it a habit to do the task in silence. I've tried to do both of those things, where ordinarily I might, you know, the minute I'm in the car, put on a CD or the radio or something like that, or out in the yard gardening. Why do I think I need to have music going? Like, there's something really restorative about doing those kinds of things in a space of silence. She also recommends things like, once a task is completed, just sitting in restful awareness for a few minutes before running on to the next chore, that sort of looking back over the accomplishment and just being aware of what you've actually done. The same thing after maybe a telephone conversation, taking a moment and just breathing. You know, I think we're so caught up in all of this multitasking and trying to get so many things done that we're not taking those moments to just be still, be silent, breathe, allow our awareness to travel with us throughout the day. If you want to get more ambitious, you can proclaim one day a month or a morning a month as a time where you won't speak. If that feels like too much, what about trying an hour? I was going to try to do this and actually, like, put it into my calendar to say, okay, on this day or this afternoon, I'm not going to speak to anyone, which I know is going to be a challenge, but I think it's going to be well worth it. The other thing she talks about is taking the TV out of your bedroom, unplugging the phone, taking a sabbatical from email. I mean, all we have to do is look around us, and we see so many of us constantly attached to our phones and other listening devices or iPads, iPods, you know, just constantly having some kind of stimulation or connection through those different technologies, which have such value and are so important and amazing, but I think we tend to let them crowd out some of the other things that are so important, like silence and stillness that I'm talking about here tonight. And thinking about this idea of moving towards a revolution and letting stillness be the way that we get there feels like such a powerful idea to me. You know, another thing that I do that wasn't in Anne's book, and I might have to suggest this to her, is I really try, I'm a pet lover. I've talked about my dogs before. I have three of them right now. And we kind of cultivate this active silence together, and we just kind of work on being with each other and connecting and loving each other. And boy, the healing powers of that for me, and I think also for them, are pretty profound as well. So that active silence, or just being out in nature, observing natural beauty, taking in all those vistas, or listening to sounds in nature, allowing ourselves to have those full sensory experiences, allowing nature to speak to us. In, you know, Native American traditions, I mean, nature is constantly communicating with us. It's a major vehicle for spirit to be in touch with us and to let us know the things that it's trying to share or the things that it wants us to act upon. So this practice of stillness, of non-doing, the best way I can think of to stay connected to source energy, to God, to spirit, to great mystery, however you refer to source. And it really allows us to hear ourselves. And there's that quote, I apologize for not looking up the author, but that God's one and only voice is silence. God's one and only voice is silence. I think that's a very profound thing to contemplate it as well, that if we can be silent, then we can hear the voice of God. There's a beautiful poem by Antonio Machado that's translated by Robert Bly, and it's called, Is My Soul Asleep? Is my soul asleep? Have those beehives that work in the night stopped? And the water wheel of thought, is it going around now, cup empty, carrying only shadows? No, my soul is not asleep. It is awake, wide awake. It neither sleeps nor dreams, but watches, its eyes wide open, far off things, and listens at the shores of the great silence. I love that idea of listening at the shores of the great silence, of our souls really seeking that silence with our eyes wide as we, you know, lean in to hear what the silence is trying to tell us. I was working with a client recently and mentioned this same idea of entering the silence as a way to connect with self and spirit, and that the information that's there, I mean, it's to be in that space where we're led by spirit, where that's just waiting if we only make the space for it. And I say that to each and every one of you listening, that spirit is waiting to communicate with you. There's information there, rich information. Spirit needs that partnership with you, that co-creative energy that's only possible with you and through you. So I really encourage you to think about what it would mean in your life to get into that space of stillness and silence and open to that, open to spirit. And really, moment by moment, living from a centered place. I worked with my client recently about that too. And this whole show is about like being in the center of that medicine wheel of, you know, those mental, emotional, spiritual, physical things that are happening in those different areas of our life, and being able to respond from centeredness, being able to be connected to spirit, because spirit never disappoints. I mean, we may disappoint ourselves, other people might disappoint us, but spirit will not disappoint. So thinking about the stillness as a way to transform the self and the world, get into that space of revolution now that we're in 2013, and sort of allowing ourselves to really live from centeredness. You know, when we're in the mind-body groups each week that I'm running through my practice, the first thing that we all do together in group is breathe for several moments, and we do some soft belly breathing. And why is that? Well, there are a number of reasons. It really allows us to connect with our breath, first of all. It allows us to connect in with our bodies, with our minds, our heart. And through that, we get to connect with self-awareness, with really checking in during that breathing. At the same time, the breathing allows us to connect with each other. And we do this, you know, in circle, in silence. And then from that point where we're all kind of pulled into the room together, connected with self and each other, we get to share. We do, you know, our check-in while others are remaining silently witnessing, where we hold the energy for you to say what you need to say. and we don't interpret or analyze or judge or come at you in any way that might make you feel defensive or judged. We just allow that silence and that space around you to embrace and restore. And it's incredibly powerful. So I know I'm not telling all these, uplifting and amazing stories right now, but I'm really trying to emphasize and underscore the power that is available to us in silence and stillness, in that space of non-doing. And from these moments, I think our true resolve can emerge. And it's that kind of resolve that will lead us to resolutions that can result in manifestation of our highest and best, and not sort of, oh, I need to lose weight, I need to work out, I need to whatever. It's really a resolution of a level that will allow us to really succeed, because the choices we make from that space will be supportive rather than destructive. Another thing that feels related to this that we do in the mind-body group, in one in particular, is our autogenic training and biofeedback class, where we look at how the thoughts we think and the stillness that we kind of engage in can affect our physiology. So we do an experiential exercise where we take these little dots, they're just little temperature sensors, and we affix them on the webbing in between our thumb and forefinger, and then I lead folks through this, just a series of statements that I say, and then the person repeats to, you would repeat to yourself. So you have the bio dot on, you're sitting comfortably, you're breathing, and then I would say, your arms are heavy and warm, and then you would repeat that to yourself, and then I would repeat it again. And you go through six or seven statements, six or seven times each, and over the course of that, it takes about 20 minutes, your parasympathetic nervous system has a chance to be activated. And when you're in that relaxed state, you're going to have to hold that thought because I hear that we're ready to go to break, our self-repair mechanisms can flip on. So I'll talk more about that on the other side of the break, and I will let Sean take it away. Talk to you in a few.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal: to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
If you're feeling the effects of chronic stress, chronic fatigue, or chronic illness in your life, it may be time to learn more about the key role that mind-body medicine can play in restoring and maintaining your health. Through individual or group sessions with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts, you can experience energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and self-care planning designed to enhance health and wellness. Mind-body medicine includes techniques such as Reiki, meditation, breathing practices, guided imagery, and mindfulness, which research increasingly shows support the body's natural ability to heal itself and restore balance. To get started, call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Welcome to In Spirit with Maria Halverson. I'm Maria Halverson, your host. In Spirit comes to you every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. to bring you stories that will inspire you to open your hearts and minds to the afterlife. In Spirit is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 NBC Sports Radio Boston. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is 2013, From Resolution to Revolution. Before the break, we were hearing about a biofeedback exercise that I take participants in my mind-body groups through. And basically, the exercise is to have people sit comfortably in their seat, breathe for a bit, and listen to statements that I say about their bodies. Your arms are heavy and warm. Your legs are heavy and warm. And I repeat these statements, and then they repeat them to themselves. And during the exercise, each participant is wearing this little bio dot, they're called, and it's basically just a little temperature sensor, which changes color as a person's temperature rises. And so the idea is that when you are relaxed, your temperature, your body temperature goes up, and so the bio dot is a way to indicate that. And so the exercise takes about 20 minutes because we know that we need about that long to turn on our relaxation response. And basically what the relaxation response is our parasympathetic nervous system flipping on. And basically that's where all of our natural self-repair mechanisms exist and can actually get to work on healing our body. And so the majority of the time, for most of us, we are not in that space of relaxation and self-repair. Instead, most of us are experiencing some form of stress or the after effects of stress and having surges of cortisol in our system. And so what do we know about stress? And I say this every show so far, and that is that stress causes cellular inflammation in the body, and cellular inflammation is at the root of every disease process. On top of that, we know that it's the cumulative effect of what we do every day that determines our health over the long term, for better or for worse, right? It takes years and years for us to be in the situations we're in right this moment health-wise, whether we're in really good health or have some health challenges that we should be addressing. So the interesting thing that I like so much about this is where stillness comes into play. You know, just a 20-minute experience, and pretty much everyone in the group had a change in their bio dot. Most recently, people went, I guess the color range is black when you start out, going to like brown, yellow, green, blue, and then purple. So if you're at purple, you're like, wow, you know, the bio dot's registering that you're really relaxed. And so most recently, several of the folks in the group were able to get to that space where their bio dot was blue or purple. And that's pretty impressive, just that small amount of time, that small amount of being still and being silent and being with yourself and creating just some small intentions, repeating some small statements. My heart is calm and strong. My arms are relaxed and warm. Those kinds of things can initiate, ignite, flip on your body's self-repair mechanisms. That is amazing. And that is from really doing nothing. So that's what I'm trying to stress tonight, that, you know, we can start a healing revolution as much as from what we don't do as from what we do. And just as a little tangent, I wanted to mention that I just recently saw someone on my Facebook page posting, reposting a blog called How Doctors Die. And wow, it was eye-opening. It was written by a doctor, and he was talking about what basically happens or in what he's observed and experienced when doctors themselves get some kind of diagnosis, especially a terminal diagnosis of cancer or something like that. And what he was saying is that more often than not, these doctors will decline a lot of the more aggressive treatments. And I find that to be pretty powerful and instructive. They don't want all of those extraordinary measures to be taken because they've had years and years often of seeing what that actually does to people and some of the suffering that people go through because they're trying to, you know, trying to get well or trying to hang on to life. And I'm not putting any judgment forward with saying any of that. I just found it to be really interesting and worth noting and really thinking about that, wow, this is what doctors who are, you know, in the business of advising people and prescribing all sorts of treatments when we're ill, you know, what they end up deciding to do. I think we can certainly learn from that as we proceed with our own, you know, care of ourselves. And as we think about, you know, the healing revolution that really does need to take place in healthcare today. So I put that forward for your consideration. Okay, we talked about the bio dots and the stillness. Now I wanted to move into this idea of, you know, while we're not doing certain things, I thought maybe I could suggest that we stop with judgment. Pema Chodron, who's a Buddhist monk and teacher, talks a lot about sort of all these dualities, that we're living in a constant state of duality, that we're judging everything as either good or bad. Everything we see, we put it instantly in some kind of category. You know, a lot of the thoughts we think, or, you know, when we meet someone, we decide whether, you know, they're good or bad or worthy or unworthy, or, you know, we like them or we don't. You know, rather than just letting it be, you know, like just being still with it, not having to jump to conclusions. You know, how can we become more and more the observer? You know, I love that idea of kind of pulling myself out or and above experiences that I'm having and being able to say from that vantage point, oh, so this is what it feels like to experience grief or heartbreak, or this is what it feels like to experience adoration or excitement or appreciation or anger, you know, without really judging it, just letting it be what it is and seeing, you know, what we can learn from that. So getting rid of judgment. You know, Byron Katie has a book called A Thousand Names for Joy, and basically the book is her response to Lao Tzu's teaching in the Tao Te Ching, which was written over 2,500 years ago. And in Chapter 37, if you're interested, she responds to the teaching that the Tao never does anything, yet through it all things are done. Excuse me, let me just say that one more time. The Tao never does anything, yet through it, all things are done. And I, you know, stumbled upon this tonight, and I don't think it was an accident, because that's a lot of what I'm trying to put forward tonight, that idea of the power that comes from non-doing, the flow that comes from non-doing, the things that show up in that space of non-doing and stillness and silence. And so what she writes is that you are being breathed, being thought, being moved, being lived. The miraculous life of not doing has an intelligence of its own. And, you know, from that being, the doing and the having emerge. I think a lot of times we feel like, you know, if we want to have certain things, and so we need to do certain things, and if that happens, then we'll be a certain way, rather than that idea of, well, if we are a certain way, if we're in the beingness of something, then from that, the proper doings will emerge, and from those doings, we'll have, you know, the have will flow, the havings will flow, or what we want in our life will present itself. So be then do, then have, rather than have, do, and be. I feel like we sometimes come at it from the wrong end. So, you know, this is a lot to be thinking about tonight, and I'm not sure how I feel about this all. And I've thought about it other times, and I'm, you know, trying it on again, because I tend to be a person kind of really committed to action and forward movement and continuous improvement and progress, not perfection, like all of those things that, you know, I feel are part of my value system. And so, you know, how do I reconcile all of that with that idea of non-doing and that sort of being the way? And how do we kind of stand in that space and not get into the judgment that Pema Chodron talks about, saying, well, you know, is that being passive or lazy or, I don't know, ne'er-do-well kind of stuff that it makes me think? So just being, I guess, being aware of all of those. Being aware of those two things existing for me right now feels important, because I really do, and I don't think I'm alone in this. I'm a doer. And like I said earlier, I can be still when I'm on vacation, because I feel like that's my assignment. You know, I'm there to be still. But it's hard for me to get into that space in a lasting way. Wow, that segment went really quickly. I hear our sign that it's time to go to a break. When we come back, we will just pick up where we left off. So, Sean, please take us to break, and I'll talk to you in a few.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Since 2009, the Frank J. Romano Foundation has been working to honor the public service legacy of its namesake. The Foundation's goals include promoting health and wellness, encouraging education and lifelong learning, and promoting volunteerism and social responsibility. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit fjrfoundation.org. The Frank J. Romano Foundation. Be well, do good, love life.
If you're feeling the effects of chronic stress, chronic fatigue, or chronic illness in your life, it may be time to learn more about the key role that mind-body medicine can play in restoring and maintaining your health. Through individual or group sessions with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts, you can experience energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and self-care planning designed to enhance health and wellness. Mind-body medicine includes techniques such as Reiki, meditation, breathing practices, guided imagery, and mindfulness, which research increasingly shows support the body's natural ability to heal itself and restore balance. To get started, call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Greenlock is the place to go for horse therapy you should know. We use the horse, they do the trick, to help you talk and walk and skip. The horse's movement builds your muscle. It also makes you laugh and chuckle. To do our job, your help we need. To run the farm and buy our feed. To help us out, just double-click on greenlock.org. Do it quick.
Join CPA, personal financial specialist Jane Honick, and psychologist Amy Wood on Your Money and Your Life on the fourth Saturday of every month at 3 p.m. and create a new life with money, because it's not about the numbers. It's about your state of mind. Jane and Amy will help you master the beliefs that drive not only your financial life, but all the areas of your life that matter. With new awareness and a positive attitude, you'll be on your way to creating a life of greater prosperity. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Do you need to relax, have a few laughs, and hear some good news for a change? Join us on Eye of the Storm, your calm place in a crazy world, every third Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern with Charlene Sherman. Eye of the Storm is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal: to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You are listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 NBC Sports Radio Boston. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is 2013, From Resolution to Revolution. Before the break, I was trying to unpack, and I hope I did this well, this idea of coming from a place of beingness, starting with the being and then moving to the doing, and then from there the having will emerge, as opposed to what I think a lot of us do, and that's that we start with, you know, the having and then the doing, and then from all that, if we have certain things, then we're going to do certain things, and then we'll be something. You know, I think it needs to flow from the be. And so I feel like, since we're linking all this back to resolutions, that this approach holds true for things like weight loss or exercise, you know, things that are really popular around the new year. Everybody thinking, okay, I've got to change all sorts of things, and weight and exercise are often at the top of that list. And I know that so many of us women in particular, and definitely some men who are on kind of this endless weight loss journey, you know, we spend so much energy obsessing over, you know, what we should be doing to have, you know, the bodies we want to have so that we can be happy. You know, if we get to this point where, oh, we've lost 20 pounds or whatever it is, then we'll feel okay. But really, we need to flip that. If we want to be successful with these kinds of goals, we really have to be okay with ourselves now, like where we are right now on that ground that we're standing on. You know, and we need to not only be okay with ourselves, we need to be committed to ourselves. And I think we really are often missing that commitment. And if we have that, then we can engage in things and do the things we need to do from that place of commitment. We'll just naturally and even somewhat effortlessly make the decisions we need to make that are going to support our success rather than undermine it. And, you know, there's something so important that I found today in Marianne Williamson's book, A Course in Weight Loss, where she takes the principles from A Course in Miracles and applies them to this area that plagues so many people. And it's from Lesson 11, and it's called Commit to Yourself. And she says something that I think is so very profound, and if you struggle with weight loss at all, you really want to pay attention here, and I think it's transferable to other areas as well. So what she says is this: while overeating would be seen by some as an indulgence of self, it is in fact a profound rejection of self. It is a moment of self-betrayal and self-punishment, and anything but a commitment to one's own well-being. That overeating is, in fact, a profound rejection of the self. And she goes on and says, your relationship to food is a reflection of your relationship to yourself, as is everything in your life. There's no reason to think that you'll be capable of loyalty to a diet until you address your basic loyalty, your basic disloyalty, excuse me, toward yourself. And boy, did that just affect me when I read it. The last, week or two, I've been doing anything but being okay, being in a good space with my diet. And normally, I'm pretty good at adhering to certain healthy eating principles. But I don't know. I've gone off the rails, and I've been trying to figure out, well, what is it? I am under a little bit of extra stress right now, and I think that's contributing to it. But that is too simplistic. It really is that in some way I'm really rejecting myself, and I need to figure out what's behind all that. And so this information from Marianne's book came to me just in time, and I'm hoping that it will be it will have an impact on you as well. So really what it's boiling down to is that we really need to heal our relationship with the self first. And so much of that starts with self-awareness, and that brings us back to this idea of stillness and entering the silence and really having that opportunity to deeply connect with ourself and with spirit. I think the same holds true in relationships. In January, there's a huge uptick in people joining online dating sites, right? You know, how many of us think that if we just have the right relationship, then we'll feel whole and happy. But, not so fast. I mean, we've probably all been in enough bad relationships to know that that formula that we were applying hasn't necessarily worked for us. And so really, just like with the weight loss example that I gave a moment ago, in relationships too, we have to heal the parts of ourselves that keep us from feeling whole, because you really have to feel whole and happy and okay with yourself independent of other people. That's what we have to strive for, because you cannot expect another person to fill that hole, H-O-L-E. You really have to become whole, W-H-O-L-E, first. It's just critical, and I think, we think, oh, I need to find my other half. No, you need to find your other, the other whole person. You're a whole person, and, your partner is a whole person, and together you make a greater whole. So I would encourage you to be thinking about that as you are, rummaging through all of the latest profiles on the range of dating sites that are out there. And so, these ideas that I'm putting forward tonight it's what I'm talking about when I say, I'm trying to move myself from, resolutions, simple resolutions, to this idea of revolution, like really living from this different place, living from this beingness of wholeness and worthiness and love for the self and compassion and non-judgment. And if we can get there and be in that space, then everything else really does fall into place. Don Miguel Ruiz says in The Four Agreements, when you transform your whole dream, magic just happens in your life. What you need comes to you easily because spirit moves freely through you. This is the mastery of intent, the mastery of spirit, the mastery of love, the mastery of gratitude, and the mastery of life. This is the path to personal freedom. And I think that's really what we're all striving for, this sense of freedom that comes when we are feeling whole and in alignment with our purpose in life, and when we're feeling whole just the way we are and the way we are not. So those are the big ideas that I have for your consideration tonight. When I look back at some of the source materials I used, it was Commit to Yourself, Lesson 11, and Marianne Williamson's A Course in Weight Loss book, Byron Katie's book, Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are. I mean, there's lessons just in the titles. Listening Below the Noise by Anne LeClaire. Is My Soul Asleep by Antonio Machado. I put forward those ideas of addition through subtraction, action through non-action, right? And what the Tao Te Ching teaches us. And this revolutionary way of thinking and this revolutionary way of being that's supported by this new cycle that we're in 2013, now that, you know, one portion of the Mayan calendar has come to an end, and we're now at this place of new beginnings and poised for a revolution in consciousness, one that can begin from the silence, from listening below the noise. You know, I guarantee you that silence will nourish and heal and support. It will instruct and guide you in this co-creative partnership. So I encourage you to see what resonated from tonight's show. Consider whether silence and stillness and listening is something that speaks to you, so to speak. There's really nothing to do to get started. You just really have to be. Again, I want to express my gratitude for growing listenership on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, on AM 1510, on our new affiliate in Ohio, Radio Row. I want you to remember, you are that which you are seeking, and small acts, when multiplied by millions of people, can transform the world. Let's remember all of this as we close tonight's program. That's what I have for your consideration tonight. I thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Visit my website, blisshealingarts.com, or call me at 508-481-2547. I want to invite you again to please like my Facebook page. It's called Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. You might have to scroll through a few pages to find it, but Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. If you check out my website in the coming weeks, you'll see my new 2013 schedule posted. I also want to invite you to consider having a free 30-minute phone consultation. I also do Native American Sacred Path readings by phone. Shamanic coaching can also happen that way as well. Monday night is Shamanic Journeying, and our Day of Healing and Insight is this coming Saturday. Our next show is Sunday the 27th at 7 p.m., and this show tonight will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. on DreamVision7Radio.com. Until next time, I wish you moments of grace descending. Take good care.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Please join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow, while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living, and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info, visit blisshealingarts.com.